reading today is from 1 John 1, and that's not going to be where our subject is. This is just getting us there. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 2 to prepare for our message. But as you're turning to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read the scripture out of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Let's pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Man, we could go home now and say we had amazing church and we didn't even hear a message. But just for the sake of letting me do what I've set out to do, we're going to get a message as well. And I hope it lines up with the worship we've already had, with the message we had from Jan and Veda, the piano playing, our communion with the Lord's Supper, our opportunity to worship through tithing and giving. And I hope we do. And a lot of times in the new year, we set out and we have these lofty goals, right? I have a list of my goals at home. I've hit some, haven't hit others. We may not have goals. We may say, hey, we've got what? New Year's what? Resolutions. Okay. The problem is 60-some percent. I don't remember exactly what it is. 64-67% of those, they fail. Now, I didn't come to tell you all if you've made those, you're going to fail. However, I did come to bear light and say, if you don't have a great plan, it's probably going to fail. Okay. I told you guys a while back, my trainer happened to be here one Sunday and I said, it's not her fault I look like this. You know, she's telling me what to do, but if I don't do it, I can't blame somebody else. So we have to have a set plan in place. That's what I want to look at for 2019. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be going into that. And Jan and Veda, I thought you guys have peeked into my sermon notes for the upcoming weeks here, dipping into those things. But yes, we have to do these things differently, I believe. We have to look and say, what is our spiritual walk? Where's our journey leading us? And where are we at on that walk? Every now and then, if we don't have intentional planning, what happens is we drift. Young teenagers, don't get excited about drifting in the cars, okay? I'm talking about we drift. We drift and just go wherever the wind's blowing. That's not a good thing. But other times, man, we're just so rigid that we're unbending. We have to have an intentional plan that lets us know where we're going, where we are, where we're going, how we need to get there. That doesn't mean, now listen, that doesn't mean in our spiritual walk we're not going to run into roadblocks, stumbling blocks, but we're going to have a better plan what to do when we come up against those things. Amen? We need those things. Now what we're going to read isn't new stuff. We've heard it before. As a matter of fact, I was reviewing some old sermons and said, oh, we've talked about this area, but I want us to look at how it pertains to us in 2019. In Acts chapter 2, there's four elements. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. So go towards the end of that chapter, verse 40. It's familiar with us. My heading in my Bible says, a vital church grows. We have opportunity to grow. We're going to Guatemala in just a few months. Or I'm going at least. Okay, and we're going to go down there and be a blessing to our friends down there in Guatemala. We have the opportunity for fellowship. In a couple Sundays, we'll have a chili cook-off. By the way, I don't know if you saw it on the slide, but those proceeds are going to the comfort quilters, by the way. So, yeah, I didn't tell you on purpose. Surprise. But the proceeds from that chili cook-off is going to the comfort quilters. They're an amazing group, and I want it to go to one of our active ministries. And we don't have a whole lot, but we hope to add ministries in 2019 to what we're doing. But that's an amazing group of people doing amazing things. And so that money, the proceeds from that will be going to you guys. So thank you very much for what you guys do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." I want to stop right there. 2019, if you have never been baptized and you have received Christ, Pastor Eric or myself want to talk to you. Don't think, "Oh, I'm too old to get in there and I don't want anyone to see me flopping around trying to sit up in the tub or whatever." It's an important step to our spiritual journey. Okay? The Bible continually says, "Be saved and be baptized." Maybe you were baptized as an infant. Maybe you were baptized as a teenager and you think, "I just need something more. I want to be baptized again." That's okay also, but I want to stop there and say, talk to Pastor Eric or myself. Okay? Because we want to be a church and a body of Christ, a body of believers that follows God's word. Amen? That's part of it. If you have not been baptized and you've received Christ, you've accepted him into your heart, talk to Pastor Eric or I, please. The sooner the better. And it says those that who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Eric, could you imagine baptizing 3,000 folks? I'm tired of pushing them down and pulling them up. You guys just jump in there. Okay, let's do it all together. 3,000 were added. 3,000 people were added. But verse 42, we talk about this a lot. There's a lot of churches say, "We are an Acts 2 church," and this is what they're talking about. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Maybe this next verse is a scary part for us. "Then fear came upon every soul." Can you imagine? "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." I think that's what fear brought. When we don't know where this is coming from and how this is happening and how this is manifesting itself, it brings fear to us. "Now all who believed," in verse 44, "now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That's what God says. That's the scriptures. Now if we break it down and say, okay, great. What does that mean to us? There's four elements in there. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Doctrine, I don't like that word. It confuses me. Okay? But I want to break it down and say, is there other ways that we can look at this and see how it relates to us? And please, the way I explain it, don't get hung up on what I'm saying. I believe in the doctrine. I'm just trying to break it down in a little different manner. Processes and procedures. Okay? God's word said, here's some processes we need you to do and or go through. Oh, and here's the procedures to do some of those things. Sometimes there's a process that's up to you to figure out how that process works. Other times they say, here are the procedures. Fellowship, that's people. Guys, we have a lot of people trying to do church as a lone ranger. "Well, I talk to God. I just don't believe I have to be in the church building right now." God never implied for us to be alone. And he never wanted us really to do battle by ourselves. Can you imagine? Those of you in the military, sometimes you've got to know how to do battle against many. But if you're an army of one, it's only going to last so long. Okay? God does not intend for us to do battle on our own. He says, come together. There's several scriptures relating to that fellowship, that community, that time together, and being there for one another. breaking of bread. Participation. I break that down as participation. That's time for us to get together. It may be through a meal, and they're talking specifically about a meal here, but participating with the body of Christ, doing things with the body of Christ. It may be a lunch, it may be a dinner, it may be just, hey, we're going to have a snack. And then prayer. The way I broke down prayer so we could understand it is this way. Prayer. Okay, prayer is prayer. There's no breaking that down. So I translated it as prayer. Okay? And I thought, man, these four elements have to occur or take place simultaneously. In order for us to grow, in order, and I'm talking about us personally, spiritually, and the body of Christ to grow, this stuff has to happen together. I mean, it has to be going on constantly. We can focus on different things at different times. We have certain times that we do some of these. But I mean, they all have to happen in unison for this to grow. For us to grow inside of us. Now, don't think for a minute you can do these things. If Jan and Veda, you guys were talking about, hey, we can know the scripture. We can quote the scripture. But man, if we're not really living it out and applying it, that's where we have some problems. We can know the scripture and quote it, but I tell you what, if the devil is having a heyday with us, we're missing the mark somewhere. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Koinonia. Eric mentioned this either the last communion we did or the one before that. It's a Greek word. It has different translations. But a couple of them are communion. Okay? That's communion. Communion with one another. Communion with God. Communion spending time with. It's also translated joint participation. Joint participation. We have an opportunity February 7th to go to the food bank. Joint participation. What a great way to be the hands and feet. And I wish I wrote it down, and Dwayne sets that up for us. Thank you for that. It's a vital ministry for that organization and for us to help be the hands and feet. They sent out a year-end statement to many of those that have signed up. And it says, here's how many meals you help provide, either by boxing goods, donating, whatever. Prayer of Faith will be a much better giver in 2019 towards missions. Amen indeed. Our communication will improve. It's already started a little bit. Okay? Those things fall on my shoulders mainly to make sure that we're pushing forward with those. But our giving will be better in 2019. Our communication will be better in 2019. Our experience, I pray, and I'm lining that out, hopefully, will be better in 2019. Our individual, as well as body of Christ as a whole, will be better in 2019. Koinonia, we just experienced that as we were able to participate jointly in the Lord's Supper. And then another translation says, sharing what one has. Guys, that's our time. That's our talent. Our gifts. Our finances. Our resources. We have great resources in this building. Some we don't know about because you haven't told us about it. Okay? No one shared it with us. Nobody's offered it up. But that's what that means. And we can't expect to grow in our spiritual life if we aren't trying to improve in these areas. The four areas: doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. Now, what is doctrine? We're really talking about reading and studying and learning. I added on applying God's word, because that's what we do with it. Try to make a habit of bringing your Bibles. Because when you see that, you know where it is. Somebody will mention a scripture once in a while and say, oh, I don't know where that is. But I do remember it's in the upper right-hand corner of my Bible because I highlighted it. You know, and you become familiar with where those are. And as you're trying to look for those scriptures or those ideas to help one another, you know that by bringing your Bible. Endeavor to bring your Bibles. If you don't have one, get with me. I will get you one. If yours looks worse than mine with pages and sections falling out like crazy, let me know. I will get you a new Bible. I have no problem doing that. I'll gladly buy you a new Bible. Okay? If you need one, if you need help with one, you let me know and I'll take care of that for you. That's how important it is for you to bring God's Word so we can follow along. But it's not just bringing that. It's bringing that, reading it, studying it. We have opportunities we'll talk about in just a minute to do that together. Fellowship. It's beyond showing up when it's convenient. I'm really tired. Sunday's my only day to sleep in. And it's so hard to get up at 10 and be here by 10:30. I get up at the crack of noon usually. And, you know, it's just so hard. That's not even including Sunday school. It starts at 9:30. Breaking of bread. Participation is what I put down. Participating in events. We have two events out of the year that we do big meals in here. And that's our church anniversary in October and our Easter meal. I believe those are important opportunities to fellowship and to get together. That is the biggest opportunity to serve and help us set up and clean up and take care of business without the 5 or 4 or 6 that normally do it to do it. When we get to, I knew I'd get an amen out of at least one. And I know 3 or 4 of you are thinking it. But we got the first one, okay? However, but that's how important it is. When we get down to Easter, we're going to have some sign-up sheets a couple weeks ahead of time. What do we want? I want you guys signing up to serve and participate and share in the duties of enjoying our fellowship together. I'm just trying to block out my wife there for a minute. And then prayer, again translated as this, prayer. We've got to get better. We have a prayer warrior, prayer minister, Jan Murray. Jan, wave your hand. I hate to put more on you, but that's our prayer minister right there. In case you didn't know it, you can always communicate with Pastor Eric and myself as well. A lot of times we don't hear about things until she communicates with us. You can communicate with us. Let us know these things. But I don't want us to rely on her and say, well, I've turned it over to Jan. Boom, done. Oh, Jan, I've got this prayer request. Here it is. Can you take care of it? Oh, yeah, I'll get it out to my prayer. Done. All right, moving on to the next thing. No. God says, Adam, pick that up. Participating in cleaning. Pick that up and pray over it yourself. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes these things that we want others to pray for, God's really saying, this is really a big area of concern for you, so you probably need to be heavy into prayer on that. I want you to help me pray for what box of cereal I should eat this morning. That's not, you know, those things. And I'm not saying we can't pray for small things. I'm of course trying to make an example by that saying those things may be heavy on you, but I don't think you need to gather other people to pray for that type of stuff. Don't rely on others to do your praying for you. Okay? Sometimes, I've told the story before of my poor little sister, Lake in Michigan, and she fell out of the boat. And she's flopping around in the water, thinking she's dying. For the record, she's about here, and land is about here, and water was about here. And we said, for the love of God, stand up. Sometimes you just got to stand up when you're wallowing around in it. And you've just got to help yourself out. Others can come over and lift you up, but sometimes if you're all alone, you're not dying. You just got to stand up. We have to pray for ourselves and for others on our own. We have to increase that prayer life. And I'm going to go a step further. Please don't just say, oh yeah, I'm going to pray. Dear God, please pray for that prayer Jan sent me and hope everything comes out great. Amen. There's no intention of really what you're saying and what you're doing. And are you really talking to God, or are you just throwing it out there in the air and hoping he catches it in his big net? We have to be intentional about these things. When we sit down to pray, be intentional. When we pray for Ground Zero and Falls Creek and what happens down there, we don't just say, God, I hope you do some amazing things. Amen. There's some intentional praying going on. And we've had some amazing results. And it's not just throwing it out there and hoping God catches it and says yes. Growth happens both individually and as a church body when these elements all are going together, like I said, at the same time. But when they interact, man, that's where it's really happening. This is a place of fellowship. We have people coming in. We have opportunity to study, to break bread together, to participate, to share jointly, and opportunities to pray. That's great. We've read God's word. This is kind of what it says. These four areas: doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. And this is in its very basic form. We'll get a little deeper in the next couple of weeks into what this means and how it looks for us in 2019. For our young people, for our older people, for our teens, whoever you are, this will be applicable to all of you. As we look at processes, we talk about opportunity to study, people gathering together, participation, sharing and serving one another, and praying. How can this affect my life, Adam? I've got the challenge for you, okay? This is my challenge for 2019 for you. Bring your Bible, bring a little notepad, and take some notes. If you need a notepad, let me know, okay? If you need a notepad, let me know. But bring a Bible, bring a notepad where you can write down those things that stick out. You can doodle, you can write notes to each other. I find when you do that on the back, you're tithe envelopes anyway, guys. So, you know, might as well make some good notes on there. Okay. Might as well make some good notes on there about something that's affected you here. But bring your Bible. And then attend. Make an intentional effort to be here every Sunday. I get we're sick. Sometimes we take a vacation. Sometimes we just got back at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. But make an intentional decision to say, I'm going to be here every Sunday. And those Lone Rangers, guys, when we look around, those Lone Rangers aren't here. Those people trying to do it themselves, they found it too hard and too heavy. And they aren't here. At the same time, if you see someone is missing, reach out to them. They've been gone. Some people have found other places to go. Praise God, they're attending another place of worship. I hope they are getting fed there. And other people are attending no place. And then when you come, participate. Be here. Man, we started one of our songs today and I heard you guys singing. I just want to stop playing and turn the keyboard off. And just listen to those beautiful voices. When you attend, participate. Be here. Be in the moment. Worship with us. Tithe. Serve. Find opportunities to serve one another. And then prayer. That's going to be a tough one. I don't know how to begin praying regularly. Just start with a conversation first of all. Well, do I say, dear Lord, dear God? As one person said one time, they combined them, dear Gord. You know, whatever. God understands who you're trying to talk to. Some things I just can't leave alone. Dear Gord. Anyway. But try and find opportunities to pray and be intentional about it. Just little ways. You don't have to do it out loud. Do it quietly. Kish, I'm going to have to block you out right now. But we have multiple ways to accomplish these goals. Okay? Now, I'm going to, in case you're not familiar with what those are, hey, how do we study God's Word? We have Sunday school every week, starts at 9:30. By the way, we started that 2 years ago this Sunday. It was, yes, amen. It was the first Sunday in 2017. So 2 years, and I'm so pleased at where we are and who's coming to those. There's more room, and if there isn't room, let me know. We'll find another space for you, okay? That'd be a great problem to have. There's opportunities on Sunday at Sunday school. Wednesday night Bible study for every age, 7 p.m. is when all those start. We're here earlier for fellowship, breaking of bread. But 7 o'clock, we have Bible study for every age group. Connect groups, those will be starting back up very soon. Our small groups, find small groups to connect with. You'd be amazed at what you can learn about one another. And opportunities to go down different paths in God's Word. Sunday church, 10:30 a.m. Thank you for being here. Those watching on there, thank you for watching. Lone Rangers, man, we've got to reach out to them and connect with them again. And then opportunities for people to gather together and share, using your gifts to serve one another. It may be greeting, it may be offering, it may be communion, it may be serving in other ways. Sunday school teacher, hey, if you have an interest in doing that, you say, well, they're already there, let me know. We have some different groups say, man, if we could ever find someone to lead it, I'd like this group to begin. There's opportunities here. And then prayer, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. in the pastor's study. There's prayer every Sunday morning going on there. And then Jan meets on Wednesday evenings, or when she has her prayer group here, we'll meet Wednesday evenings. Is that 6 or 6:15? 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. every Wednesday. There's opportunity to pray. And to pray for the body of Christ, for those that are part of this church, those that are not part of this church. And then prayer, this is just a daily habit to do it, and do it throughout the day. There's many opportunities for us to pray. We're going to have opportunity to worship here in just a minute, because we're going to talk about our God is mighty to save. And in talking about our God is mighty to save, I want us to look at what 2019 holds for us. Opportunity. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. There is opportunity in 2019 to grow. And there's opportunity in 2019 for us to prosper as individuals and as a church body. I want us to think about this. 2019, we have been preparing the field for years, have we not? We've been preparing the fields. We've been preparing the fields for young people, for babies. We have babies here. We have more babies coming soon. Okay? A couple more babies coming soon. Soon and very soon. Oh, man, that's going to be an amazing thing. But we've been preparing. 2019, for some of you, this is going to be your year of growth. For some of you, it's a year of harvest. Amen? How many of you want to harvest? Oh, Lord, two of you. Okay, great. No one else wants a harvest. How many want a harvest in 2019? Let's hear you. All right. This is a year of harvest. It's near for some of you. We've been preparing. You guys can go ahead and start playing, because I'm going to finish this up real quick. We're going to sing He is Mighty to Save in just a minute here. But some of you have been preparing. And some of you have been preparing that soil for a long time. And I know some of you are tired. You say, God, when will the harvest come in for me? I see my neighbors, I see their fields, and they're full. And I see them harvesting. When is my harvest coming in? We have to watch those boots that we're wearing. And we need to know when it's time to push Satan out of the way. We have to know when we're not following His way and His will. We have to know when we're off track. I started to say earlier, when we get to getting off track and drifting, sometimes we may not have gone in the ditch, but we're veering off road. We need to be open to people telling us, you're starting to veer. You're not in the ditch, but you're starting to veer. We need to help people. Hey, I see you've planted this crop. You didn't water it properly. It's not coming in, and that's why. Some of you have planted and you're ready to reap the harvest. Some of you have watered and you're just waiting for that to come up. Some of you are ready for the harvest and it's your year to reap. And we're excited for that for you. You are going to reap what you have sown. And some of those fields or crops take longer to come in. Amen. Stand to your feet and worship with us today as we sing "Our God is Mighty to Save."